and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris, and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by Rachel Marshall, director at Giftrees. Rachel, how are you?
I'm really good, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm in my garage this week, which is a bit depressing because I think I've broken the studio and Brewdog. I think there's too much talking. So apologies, we don't get to sit across from each other. But we saw each other this week anyway, didn't we? We were at the event.
We were. And it was great. We were at the Jugged Hare, weren't we?
Yeah, really nice place, really nice place. And look, before we get to Giftrees, tell me a little bit about you. What's your background? How did you end up at this point?
So I've been in commercial marketing for about 20 odd years, a long time. And back in the day, I was doing things like launching brands such like Bombay Sapphire, Le Piador, wow. If you can remember that far away.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the international marketing for Smirnoff, brands like Patak and Tefal. So I've always been in the food and the commercial promotion of food and the supply industry, if you like. And so and I've moved into entertainment. I've worked in consumer and business to business, and I've worked both across the pond in America, in North America quite a lot, and in the UK. So now working with a global business in the hospitality industry and doing something that matters is brilliant. I'm very blessed, and that's not lost on me.
And how does the industry compare to, I suppose, the your early experience of doing direct hospitality sales and hospitality tech sales, because you do a bit of both. How is it comparing to your previous career?
It's interesting.
Probably more of a challenge.
Is it more of a challenge? It's nicer. It's a much friendlier industry. But then I think hospitality has always been mutually supportive. You know, people want to do a good thing. It's about having great experiences and making people happy and feeling good. And I don't think that changes whether you're a supplier or an operator, front of house. You know, everybody at heart, everybody wants to have a good time, and that's a really nice space to work in.
It really is, actually. You just reminded me how lucky we are. Well, look, and you mentioned doing good at this part of your career. In fact, that you actually what you do now is actually helping other people. Tell us, I suppose, who's your best pitch for Giftrees? Tell us what Giftrees does.
The pitch is different for everybody. I don't know if I could spend good, to be honest, Chris. So we work with the hospitality industry on sustainability. So it's a really difficult area. Sustainability is expensive. It can be time consuming, difficult. We try and provide a solution that enables restaurants, whether it's one restaurant or 100 restaurants, to have a tangible, visible, genuine sustainability solution that's easy for them to implement, that diners love, staff love, that's measurable, and actually enhances the business and enhances the diner experience, rather than adding a layer of complexity or cost or time. It's just a very simple, really good, highly visible way to evidence action for the planet, for people, and for profitable business.
And it's relevant at the moment, isn't it? Because I know COP24, COP26, whatever is going on, and I think that I think the industry wants to do good and actually talks a lot about it. But I think, as you just pointed out, the complexity of doing so or actually doing something that matters is quite hard work, and they've got to fend off all the other problems they have day to day.
It's really hard work, and it can be really expensive as well. So, you know, for a restaurant who is very true to its sustainability mission, buying, for instance, ingredients that are only on season and only come from, you know, have reputable provenance and good producers, it's expensive. There's a premium on even basic things like milk and eggs and cheese. It's an expensive business. And then if you add in trying to buy accessories or things like even straws or the staff uniforms, the clothing, the, you know, all the paper goods that are used, trying to buy those sustainably comes with a big premium. It's expensive. We know that restaurants are, you know, particularly after the last statement, you know, there's a pressure on revenues, a pressure on margin, and trying to do a good thing and give a brilliant experience and offset our impact on the planet is not easy. And there's an expectation, isn't there? Both, you know, we've got an expectation from diners that you leave a legacy, that you're not leaving a bad imprint, that you're offsetting the balance, the inevitable human impact. There's an expectation from Gen Z that you're giving them an amazing experience with wonderful food that's all naturally produced and isn't impacting on the planet, that's affordable. And, you know, they expect that we're paying it forward into the next generation as well. So the kind of the pressure on the hospitality industry to do the right thing and make a profit is a really big ask at the moment.
That is it. I mean, my sister company Atollo, they've just built something called Fit by Atollo, fitbyatollo.com, where you can search for jobs based on values or search for your career. And sustainability is coming. Yeah. Actually, is probably, I think I need to look at, I can't quote it directly now, but I think it's in the top three of values, or in terms of what, not just Generation Z actually, but a lot of people now are looking at, okay, what do you actually do? Like you just said, what are you offering to kind of do the right thing? And I think it's conflicting for the operator because they're like, because they want to, obviously, but it's really hard work. So in simple terms, if I'm a restaurant owner and Rachel arrives at my front door today, and I want to take part, how would it work for me as a restaurant owner if I plugged in with Gift Trees?
Oh, it's super simple. So we plant trees in agroforestry systems, and a restaurant will either add it as a line item on the menu and attach it to a particularly special dish, or it just comes with every bill, a bit like the Street Smart initiative, where the restaurant does something good, they bring the diner along on the journey, so it's added to the bill. And then what the restaurant does to support that is really in their gift. So you've got a gift tree that's enabled, that's funded by the diner. And then a restaurant will either choose to match that. So this is what we're doing as well. We're planting trees, we're creating forests.
So you buy one, you plant one, I plant one.
You buy one, we buy. Yeah, exactly. So we'll both plant one together. We'll both do something good. We'll double the impact. Some restaurants choose to, because we reward our restaurants, so we encourage them to do as much as they can by planting gift trees. And one of the things that we do is enable them to earn tokens, and then they can use their tokens, say, either to do tree matching, so plant more trees, create bigger and bigger forests that leave a legacy for lifetime, or they can take their staff, they can use it as a staff incentive, so take staff either to visit the forest, the agroforestry system, see the soil fertilisation, see the biodiversity, meet the communities that are benefiting from the fruits from the trees and providing education and housing and food. They can take their staff on those life-changing journeys. Or if they're choosing to use their tokens perhaps to support a local charity or maybe a supplier in their food chain, so maybe in Europe they've got a meat supplier that they want to support in a project, then we enable that for them. And we also work really closely with the technology suppliers, so it's a sort of tech for good piece. Our solution comes through the tech provider, through the EPOS provider, and then we work with them maybe to help balance out some of the costs of the EPOS system. So it's a tailored solution depending on what really matters to the restaurant. But whatever they do, they're planting trees in agroforestry systems that are offsetting CO2, so they're helping them towards carbon neutrality. That's something very visible that the diners like, so it's evidence of doing something good. It's tangible, it's measurable, and it's helping to fix our broken food systems. You know, it's providing food security, food diversity, in some of the places of the world where we cause the greatest harm to our planet.
That's amazing. And I think I remember talking about when we were at Carluccio's years ago, we had this one napkin rule was our effort for sustainability, you know. And whilst we were trying to do something right, it was so hard to commit to and so hard for restaurants to follow, because we had 100 sites, and obviously 55 of those sites, they might not have done one. We don't know, but that was our pledge, right, to the business internally and then externally to our customer. And I think it was really hard to track. And this way, it's much easier, isn't it? Because once you're plugged in and once you're doing, and I think you could attach it to your your most green dish, or I don't know, or the most popular dish on your menu, or something.
Or a plant-based dish.
I love that. And because your quest really on the podcast today is actually, it's not just to talk to the restaurant owners, is it? You're also a partnership side of things is quite interesting for you, I presume, as well.
It's really important, yeah. So we have our own ecosystem, if you like. So we work really closely with the EPOS partners, and they've got a mission as well, which is to provide sustainable solutions to their restaurant partners. So Lightspeed, for instance, that we work with, we are their global sustainability product of choice. This tech often gets a bad rep when it comes to sustainability. And it's not easy to balance some of the sustainable, your tech stack. I mean, how does your tech stack contribute to your sustainability? There's not a lot you can do in there, really, is there?
It's not an easy thing to quantify, is it?
No. So we partner with the EPOS providers, and we give them something that's very different. It gives their sales team leverage. It gives them something different to talk about, and it enables them to go to the restaurants, the hospitality sector, with something that's really good and that's addressing their sustainability agenda. And we partner with them, we work really closely with them, we do ride outs, we go and talk to their customers with them. And it's just a really good thing, Chris, because it doesn't cost anyone. It doesn't cost anyone anything. Every time a tree is planted, it's doing a great thing for people, for the planet, for the business. There's no downside, really.
And where do you think the blockage is sometimes? Because I hear you. I mean, I was working for Prime Minister in my last job, and the Prime Minister, a really sustainable company, really cared. They really, really care. I used to sit in board meetings.
It's a Bristol company, right?
Yeah, Bristol. And, you know, Bristol, Brighton, those kind of areas, these guys really buy into kind of sustainability. And I remember sitting in meetings and they were like turning down cash, you know, losing money, profitability by making the right decision, which was really inspiring to be around. And do you think there's a blockage around some of the industry where they just don't see sustainability as a priority, or it's not really, you know, they've got too much stuff going on? How are you kind of getting received, I suppose, when you're knocking on doors or meeting people?
I think it's a really good question, Chris. And I think the days of ignoring sustainability have gone. There's no doubt, you know, every time we meet someone in the industry, every time people get together, sustainability is a very hot topic. But I think the conversation has moved on, hasn't it, from should we do something to what do we do? How do we do it? We're living in an age of conscious everything, aren't we? It's conscious dining, conscious consumerism, conscious retail, conscious travel, conscious uncoupling if you're Gwyneth Paltrow. It's conscious everything is...
I don't want to go out with maybe a long couple.
Everything is conscious, and that's being driven by the consumers. They don't hope or want or like the fact that you might do something for sustainability. They expect it.
Yeah.
And they have they have a dual expectation, don't they? And we've talked about people we know in the hotel industry who are at the very luxurious end. And the restaurants, they've got a really difficult balance to strike, because on the one hand, you've got consumers who expect an experience now. It's not just turn up, have a plate of food, eat my food, pay the bill and go. There's an expectation of a hospitality, a dining experience. They expect a lot more for their money. They expect it to be affordable. They expect it to be planet friendly, environmentally friendly. They expect it to be good. And at the same time, the restaurant is expected to be conscious of waste, conscious of their energy, conscious of where they buy all their food from. And so you've got this awful balance, and a really difficult balance of, well, how do I meet all of that customer expectation and still run a profitable business? It's really, really hard.
And it's that feel factor, right? It's that, I want to go for dinner and have a great time, obviously. But also, if I can do something else while I'm there, if I can leave feeling like I've made a difference, that's even better. Because, money's hard to come by these days, and money's, when people are spending their money, that's also you know, it's becoming more valuable. The experience, as you say, is becoming even more valuable. But adding value to that from our side, from the supplier's side, is, I think, the golden goose. But maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right, and that's exactly the point. Is that people don't want to change their behaviours. They want to have a fantastic time and do good for the planet. And what we help people do is make it easy. It's like, it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it has to be credible, has to have integrity. And planting a tree, so if you explain this to the diner when they arrive, that we're going to give you a fantastic experience. We want you to indulge, we want you to enjoy, and we want you to feel really good about it. So we're going to plant trees in agroforestry systems. You're going to help the planet. You're going to help people. We're going to do it with you. And you're going to leave here feeling really, really good. You can have a great experience and know that you're paying it forward. Know that your experience is going to help the planet, help other people living in extreme poverty. And we've done it together. You know, we've got you on this. And it's about that feel-good factor. And we talk, don't we, about, you know, are your diners going to come back? Do they feel good enough that they're going to come back? And everything is about creating that feel-good factor for the diner as they're dining. And when they've left as well, you want it to go out the door with them, don't you? That great
feeling. Yeah, they're just going to tell other people. And that's, you know, it's hospitality in its essence is really simple. That if you do a good thing for someone, not just in restaurants, just generally in life, if you're hospitable to someone, they're going to pass it on because it makes them feel good. And the next person they interact with, it's the same experience. It's how I built my career in the industry, that it was old school, but we used to behave like that we looked after everybody, team members, customers, anyone we bumped into the street, we were in our uniform, whatever. We really cared for them. As this is the Hard Rock Cafe I was talking about. We really kind of to spread our wings outside of the business. We weren't just part of the business, we're part of the community. And I think that maybe got lost a little in the casual dining boom in the early 2000s and changed a bit. But I think it's coming back through the street food guys who are coming into bricks and mortar now. I think it is kind of coming back. Great restaurants out there who do great things as well. So, and also hotels, as we mentioned. Yeah. And have you had any direct customer feedback? I suppose you don't get to see all of it, but have you heard much feedback?
Well, we've had one of our team was in a restaurant this week in the evening. One of our fantastic partners have planted hundreds of thousands of trees across 6 or 7 of their sites. And we deliberately went to sit down and get some customer feedback and ask them what they thought.
Every day we're dining there, we did. Sorry,
carry on. And the feedback was amazing. The feedback from the customers, from the diners was, it makes me feel really good. This is just a really good thing, and it was easy, and it didn't really cost me anything. And that's what we hear all the time is, I love that this lets me do something.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got all the right intentions, but enabling them to actually do something on the spot and feel good is brilliant. We love it. So we do get really, really good diner feedback, and we get particularly good diner responses where the restaurants make a deal of it and, you know, say, this is what we do. We believe in people and the planet and sustainability. We're doing all these great things. We're planting, but we're not just planting trees. We're creating forests that produce fruits. It's fruit trees that go into a circular economy. Come on the journey with us. Come and see the impact you're making. Look at the tons of CO2 you're offsetting. Look at the people you're lifting out of poverty, people surviving on $1.23 a day. Plant a tree and you're going to lift them out of poverty, not just now, but for the future, for the next generation, their family. So it's a really small thing, but it's a massive feel-good factor.
Yeah, look, and I can see, I mean, your passion is coming through the camera, so which is great, right? And I think it's really important when you're in a role like this or when you're doing something like this that you really believe, and quite obviously you really do. And I think it's really commendable. And I suppose if you could ask for anything on this podcast, if you could ask for anybody to kind of get in touch or to talk to you, how do we get hold of you?
Ring me, email me, do a good thing.
And we'll do your contact details in a minute, but... What does the future look like? So is it just more of sharing the story, more about getting out and meeting partners, meeting restaurant chains?
The future's interesting because what we're finding is that in casual dining, we work a lot with casual dining, and that's really our sweet spot at the moment. But what we're finding is the industry's changing, and with quick serve, and particularly with coffee restaurants and brunch, where there's higher traffic, but possibly a lower spend per head, we're finding that those consumers are actually the most interested in doing something and then offsetting their, you know, their fancy coffee every day or their brioche or their, you know, their brunch. And so what we're working on now is solutions for those chains of coffee shops. So how can they help their repeat customers who want to do something small but meaningful every day?
Because I suppose in casual dining, I think it was something like 1.8 visits a year from a customer, something like that. I think if you worked it out across our estate, and I think in coffee, there's a lot more loyalty, a lot more frequency in trial. So I suppose you can really use a program like this to really, you know, encourage people to do the right thing.
And it's a different, and it's a more, particularly with coffee, where then it's maybe fair trade coffee, and the business has already got a mind for sustainability.
Yeah.
Our customers have too, and people do choose their coffee by its provenance, by its, you know, by its trading standards. And so you've got a customer base that are already predisposed towards sustainable solutions, and they want more. They want evidence from the people that they spend their money with that their money is going to a good place, and that they're being enabled to do something more for the providers of the ingredients or for the staff or for the planet. So it's a really interesting space, and I think all the research that we see now is it's only going to become more and more, I think, less of a desire and more of an expectation.
I think what you said at the start was really interesting, that it was something we talked about, but now it's something that we need to do. I think that, you know, probably kind of the best way to phrase it, that actually before it was a kind of, what should we do with sustainability? It's quite important, isn't it? Now it's like, it's too late. You need to move.
And I
totally agree. There's a company called Zedible who we had on the podcast a few months ago who measure carbon footprint. I'm probably doing a disservice. They do a lot more than that. But they it's interesting. And these kind of climate tech, as I would call it, is coming to light more and more, and people are kind of starting to get involved, so which is really exciting. And where can we find you if someone needs to email you? What are your, so we can, if someone
so it's gifttrees.com, and it's Rachel RACHEL rachel.marshall@gifttrees.com.
And you can also find Rachel on the marketplace. Just hit the sustainability tile on the front page and you'll ping straight to her card. And this podcast will also sit on there for anyone who wants to find out. But we think that, we're good friends with Paddy and Scott. So I don't know if you were at the brunch on Paddy and
Scott. Yes, I was.
They also do quite a lot of work. They're doing, I don't think they're planting trees for their farms and all sorts. But I agree. Yeah. I think that product in particular, people are very aware and bought into where that product comes from, what they do with it. So I think
they're a brilliant brand. I love what they do.
And we should introduce you. All right. Well, look, Rachel, thank you very much. And I appreciate you we saved each other a journey. We've actually saved the environment by not going to London.
We have. We're all close at home.
All right.
On a train, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's what, see, we're doing the right thing. Look, thanks for joining me. And we shall see you all next week. Rachel, say bye-bye.
Bye. Lovely to see you.